Today's The Best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
How are we doing, folks? How are things? Listen, first of all, welcome along. It's
welcome along.
That sort of stuff. Here, two things, really. One is, right,
yes,
that we have ended up in the weirdest side hustle ever.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Now, I need to get my phone.
Have you forgotten the name?
Who the lady was that was looking to have the very unique shout-out that PJ Gallagher invented last week.
I didn't even invent it last week. Of course, I was at the Dublin Book Festival and a guy called OJ came up and said, "Hey, next podcast, lads, I love it. Will you call me a bollocks, please?" And I was like, absolutely. Especially to a loyal listener called OJ. You are the bollocks. And now, what's happened is Jim has gotten messages from people going, excuse me.
We literally got a Twitter message from Debbie Hogan. And Debbie Hogan, again, would very much, in fact, offered us money. Offered us a fiver.
Yes, yeah, so this is why Jim is thinking there's a hustle in it, you know?
I think there's a potential side hustle here. So, I mean, surely to God, calling people a bollocks is not the most difficult job in the world.
No, not really. But listen, Revolut it straight in there, please. $2.50 each, Debbie. And why? Because you are a bollocks.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. You are the most welcome bollocks we've had on the podcast because you're paying for the pleasure. So there you go.
And then the other thing as well is that... I was going to say lads, but nowadays you have to say anybody with a willy, right? Anybody with a willy, right? You need
it's
to
gonna
listen.
Love this.
Well, are they or are they going to hate us? Is it going to make us all feel completely inferior?
Well, you might think to yourself, what are the most impressive flutes in history? It's a question I've asked myself many times.
Yeah, and it's something that doesn't appear in the press often enough.
Not often.
You get all sorts.
There's awards for everything.
Exactly.
Book awards that we never win. Radio awards we rarely win.
Podcast awards we never win.
And now there's the big flute awards. And we probably won't win them either, let's be honest.
Sadly.
Especially up against the competition. Who knew? Scientists have only just discovered a type of bat, right? And his Mickey is so big that he uses it as an arm. I mean, I'm absolutely blown away by this.
He uses it as an arm. This was actually in the papers, believe it or not, yesterday.
Yeah.
Was it yesterday? Anyway, doesn't matter. But this thing is actually so big that women bats, lady bats
can't.
Are saying, well, you're not coming near me with that.
Yeah,
but having said that,
but they say they don't mind him going near them with it. It doesn't go in, right?
Right.
So what they do?
They have a spare one or something.
No, it's so fertile. He only has to rest it off the lady bat. So he can use it
what,
as an arm.
Like, even on her shoulder or something?
No, it goes around her. He uses it like an arm, right? So he holds her with his flute, right? He wraps his flute around to hold her, to give her a hug.
Right.
A flute hug. He gives her a big flute hug, right? And it comes all the way back around and it rests on the lady area.
Right.
And then, that's enough. It's so fertile that the lady bat is just going, hey!
I thought you said it had a hand on it, no?
Well, no.
Did you add to this now? Is this Chinese? Is this you making up something? I thought you told me it had a hand on the end of it and he had a spare one that he used for day to day.
Yeah, I did say that yesterday, but I've read the story properly and that's not true. So the Mickey hand is not true. I did.
But a Mickey like an arm where you could fulfil numerous. I mean,
it has like a thumb.
If nothing else, who wouldn't want an extra arm?
Yeah, I know. Imagine that.
Let alone an enormous flute.
Imagine like Jim saying, are you getting coffee, PJ? Yeah, get us one. I'll get one for Emily. Don't worry. I'll have it sorted. I'll just come in and hand Jim his coffee with my flute. I'm there. No, there's a thumb on it. I can hold it. Look. There you go, Jim. Take that coffee there. That's your cappuccino, wasn't it?
Wow.
Oat milk, was it? There, no worries. And just landed on. That would be amazing.
By the way,
if I had a Mickey like that, I'd be using it to open knots and all.
Yeah.
I'd be an escapist. I'd be tying me up and then I'd like be able to get me Mickey to take down my own zip and come out and open all the knots and then I'd escape and people would be like, how does he do it?
Incredible.
How does he do it?
Can we just, does it say in the story, is this sort of a breed of
bat? It's a breed of bat.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh, no,
so
it's not just one
particularly lucky bat who's known as like a bat superhero.
That's literally
Batman.
Funniest thing I've ever heard.
Batman.
They just found one.
The body of a bat. The dick of a man. Imagine that. That would be an immense superhero. Body of a bat. Cock of a man.
Dick of a man. Imagine that joke flying into your house.
Yeah. Keep hitting you in the face.
There's a bat in the thing. What's he flying around with a dildo? Oh my God, that's his own. A What sort of a yoke is that?
So you're saying there's everybody in that particular bat community is well endowed?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. See the name of the bat species again. Now I'm actually have the story here. In front
please
of
let it be called cockarm bat.
No, it's something cockarm bat.
Cockarm bat, the cockarm bat species, native to.
It's funny because a lot of willies have been referred to as bats. You know.
Come here, listen. How come David Attenborough didn't? You know, I haven't seen this on a David Attenborough thing.
That'd
like he's done
brilliant.
Everything. He claims he's done everything. I don't ever remember him putting. Cockarm bat onto the.
Imagine that, David Attenborough gun. As we watch the bat with the man's penis, but he with an elbow. He can use this with an elbow. It's the only animal in the world that has an elbow and a shoulder in his mickey that he can use to embrace his other half. Or his mate. You wouldn't say his other half. You never say that about animals.
Yeah. See a lion walking across the savannah going, Jesus, I thought I'd never get away from your woman. God, she's the only head in.
A lion with a
head.
My
other half. My other half, she's been at me all day. Would you not go out and hunt for a change?
I'm out hunting all day and she's in the cave there. She's giving her all the...
Who is?
Me other half. Me the other half, you know.
But you've loads of them. You know, well, whatever then. Me other 1/8. Whatever. Yeah. I don't know how many lionesses I have, do we?
Fella with a Jack Russell standing at the chipper. We're just, the two of us got out, you know. Get away from the other half. Not mine now, his.
Absolutely dead. Anyway, I think it's... There's definitely something weird if David Attenborough, like, I mean...
Yeah, has never done the willy bat. I think the willy bat, they're saying it's very recently discovered. It's 7 times longer than himself and the bat.
7 times longer than himself?
That's what they say.
So
it sounds like it must be like a measuring tape of a thing. It must recoil, you know.
So it's the equivalent of a man having a 42-foot willy. An average 6-foot man having a 42-foot willy. Is that what you're saying? It's 7 times longer than he is.
Oh, right, okay, that sounds ridiculous. I must have read it wrong. That's like Jim, like, imagine like a man, a normal human man had something like that. You see, he's normal, he's getting it together.
Articulated Mickey.
Yeah, and then he gets a little bit turned on, and then all of a sudden it's like someone set off a bouncy castle in the bedroom.
It'd be like the spire.
Yeah, it'd be the spire going up. You'd be like, nah, here. That's ridiculous. And you'd be like, all you have to do is hold it. You don't have to go near it.
Wow.
So it doesn't sound very realistic.
I'd say, to be fair, in the animal kingdom. Like, you never saw that in The Lion King either. You know what I mean? Disney have avoided that.
It's one of those things, the poor old bat would be going, it's not funny. It's a blind sore every time it goes on and people would be laughing at him.
Yeah.
And he goes, stop laughing at me. I can't help it every time.
It's probably really awkward as well because... what do you call it? Like, don't bats hang upside down and all?
Yeah, imagine.
So he's probably constantly pushing it out of the way of his face.
Yeah, for God's sake.
This bloody thing.
Yeah, every time I go to sleep, this
Unless
thing.
He uses it to hang on, maybe.
You have to tie it around his waist. You know? Have to keep wrapping it around his waist about 6 times. And then tuck it in like a bat towel. So tuck it in. And then he hangs upside down and it still flops down over him like a towel, you know?
I just had visions there of people, you know, couples and stuff, and the other half, since we've used that expression already, reading that story, like just coming across that story in the paper and just using that story to just make their other half feel awful about themselves.
No.
See that? Look at you. You can't even use the 2 arms you have.
Yeah, look at that.
Look at that. There's a bat there.
Look at
that. Can use its cock as an arm and everything.
We haven't had
You can't use your arm or your cock. In fact, you don't even know your cock from your elbow.
Haven't had sex in 6 months. Look at you over there. This bat, all you have to do, he can hug you with his mickey, you know.
Yeah.
He's going, you're there with your miniature flute. Yeah. It's not a miniature flute, I just have huge balls. Leave me alone. You know what I mean?
It is the weirdest thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Using that to kind of like, you know, have a go with your own.
Have a go with him.
Yeah. Jesus. You fucking hell. The bitch you have, you can't use at all. Yeah. He can multitask.
There's a bat there can hold a saucepan and all with his flute. There's you. Whatever. Yeah. He probably used that as a hammer. He'd fix that shed you've been talking about for 6 months. No time.
Absolutely. So, apologies anybody who has a willy. For making you feel slightly inferior.
Making you feel bad.
Although it wasn't us, it was Cockbat.
It was Cockbat.
Or Cockarm Bat.
Yeah, Batfink. Yeah. Or whatever we gotta call him,
Anyway.
Really hope there's a house in Kerry or somewhere where one of these lads flies in, all the dishes getting smashed and everything. Yeah. Him trying to get fly, all he wants to do is get out,
Get hell. Imagine calling the fire brigade or something to get that out of your house.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of bats. They won't harm you. No, I'm not afraid of the bat. It's his cock. It keeps knocking everything over. Yeah. Every ornament in the place is broken.
He's after scaring the shit out of the dog. The dog's after biting the bat and the cock. The whole place has gone mad.
It's chaos in here. Yeah. Chaos.
God.
Right, listen, I tell you what, let's give you a few of the bits from Jordan the Week. You'll understand why that particular segment didn't make it onto the regular radio
show. Onto the regular show, yeah, apologies, yeah.
But anyway, tell you what did. Food. Food is always on the show, for God's sake. We're always talking about food. And this time, funnily enough, in a slightly connected way, it was a way of impressing women.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Oh, it was,
the
actually.
The food was.
Yeah, once again, male delusions are strong. Yeah,
and actually, the whole romantic... or as you like to call it, the whole amoratic flavour of the show was there this week. Because who'd have thought that fishing could make you hot?
Yeah, apparently, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Well, we may have interpreted that our own
a
way.
Little bit, yeah.
But who knows?
You might not be fly fishing after all. No, bad fishing.
What else did we have? Of course. PJ's favourite subject is when it comes around to the possibility of talking about my funeral.
Yes.
And it turns out that his plans for it to be a great funeral, well, they took a boost by virtue of the fact that all Irish funerals are apparently the best you can go to.
The best funerals in the world,
everybody bar obviously
the person in the
close
box,
close family and the people in the box,
yeah,
want to be at an Irish funeral.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I tell you, that's the way forward. And then smells made an appearance on the show, thankfully though, only to talk about.
Yeah, I can't remember. What was this about?
This
again?
Was this kind of, you know, weird smells.
Oh, weird smells.
But people like them.
Yeah, but the weird smells you like. Yeah.
Those ones.
Like Bat Mickey and all. Yeah, stuff like that, yeah.
And it got quite poetic for a while, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Yeah. There was a few. What did you call your man? Wordsworth.
Wordsworth, yeah. I wander lonely as well.
Anyway, you haven't listened to that. I will talk to you in a minute.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Obviously, I'm very conscious of the fact that with my good friend PJ Galler having the feelings that he has in relation to the sea season that happens towards the end of the year, that I'm very conscious of how we approach this particular story. But you know the way people kind of, they claim to have this kind of sixth sense thing where it's like, can you feel it? Can you feel it in the air?
No.
You can almost smell.
No. I do know what you mean, but I see
well,
these
people do
all the
say
time.
That, don't they?
They do, and that's the thing. There's a lot of people have these sort of, you know, I suppose smell, to be fair to a lot of people, does bring you to a certain sense of place, and it even brings you to a
they
certain
say
sense
it's very
of time.
Impactful, yeah, exactly. Even more so than kind of sounds or whatever.
Yeah, that smell is like, is the, I was going, what, a travelator. That was a terrible analogy. But anyway, they asked Pete. Yeah.
God, I love the smell of a travelator.
Smell of a travelator.
In the morning.
In the airport. Smell of holidays up.
Although that's kind of funny you should say that now. Some people would claim that the airport has a very specific kind of scent to it. As
yeah, it
in,
does.
Because you associate
smell of people who haven't washed because they've been on flights now for hours.
I meant in the anticipatory sense of going somewhere. You know, there's a... Actually,
yeah, that's
maybe
true.
Right.
Smell of breakfast and all. That's a good smell, I guess. But they've asked people, what are the weirdest smells that they like? Not just smells you like now, because that's what people end up doing. Not just smells you like. Forget that.
So not just
weird ones.
Oh,
you know,
right, okay.
Weird stuff. Stuff that you don't smell every day. So, and some of the answers have been like, you know, the smell of opening a new can of tennis balls, somebody has said. Can't say I'm very familiar.
Nor I.
You know?
Nor I.
Some people say...
What would that be? That'd be just... Would that not just be trapped air? Like, what?
Yeah, honestly, that sounds to me like... You know, one of the smells I hate, you know when you open a pack of ham and the pig fart comes out? You know that?
Yeah,
when you
technically,
open
it's not pig fart, just to be clear.
Well, I think it is.
Right.
You know, you open it up, it's literally pig bum sliced, and you open it up, poof, geez, the smell of fart. And you're like, and it's all sweaty, you know.
Speaking as a ham lover, I'd like to dispute that fact there.
There you go. You heard it first. Jim McCabe is a pig fart lover. And then some people said the smell of a hardware shop. I get that, actually. I love it? No. Am I familiar with it? Yeah.
Smell of a hardware shop makes you feel manly.
Yeah.
Like you know what you're doing. Yeah. Even though you're only walking around looking for sellotape.
Yeah. It makes you want to put a WD-40 on as deodorant and all.
Well, it makes you want to buy a pair of Snickers, even though you have no reason whatsoever to wear them.
Yeah, but give us a Snickers, ha. Wear that around the place. Looking deadly, you know.
Oh, look, somebody's discovered a weird one that I like. The smell of a stationery store. You know the way I am with stationery.
Yes.
I do love the smell of a stationery
store. Jim loves a bit of fancy paper.
I have to say. I love walking in. Oh my God, I'd lose my mind.
That's true.
I could be buying staplers and every sort of
I'm with you on this.
Hole punches.
You always find
a fresh Pritt stick.
That's Jim's addict. That's Jim's addiction. You find him in a bookshop with a book open and his nose right in the centre.
Yeah. By the way, just to point out, smell. I never have nor will I ever sniff glue. So just my reference to a Pritt stick was very different.
Yeah, you're missing out. The smell of freshly blown out matches. That's one.
I sort of get that.
I get that. The sort of sulfury smell. You know, that's one of them. And then someone says the smell of puppy breath. Well, what? You've obviously never had a dog. When my dog goes out, my dog was small, Stell, and he's eating a mouthful of squirrel shite, and then you're like, oh, the stink off is coming back. You're like, oh, God. You know that, like, or that burp. Do you ever see your pet and your dog, and you're like, oh, it's such a gorgeous thing, and the dog goes, and then you're like, oh, my God. You're like, he's eating fox poop or something.
I have to say now.
I
wouldn't normally associate any form of dog breath with a pleasant thing.
No.
I mean, considering, remember you told that story where the doctor completely refuted the idea that a dog licking a wound was a good idea.
Exactly,
He literally said, no, they are riddled with all sorts of weird stuff in their mouth.
The doctor said you'd be better off sticking your finger in your posterior, is what he used. That's the word he used.
So that'll tell you what their breath might be like.
Yeah, a puppy breath. I love puppies and dogs, but their breath. I don't like anyone's breath.
That is a weird one. That is a weird one. By the way, there's another one there which... I don't know how you would know what the smell is, because it's the smell of impending snow. So not actual snow.
Not actual snow, impending snow.
Snow that will come. What does that smell like?
Arty nonsense. That's very asked some asked some lad that has leather patches on his jacket there, didn't they?
Yeah.
On his elbows. Mm,
the smell of impending snow.
Well, as Wordsworth once says, I wander lonely as impending snow and... Into the nose, I get the summer glow. Or winter glow, I guess. It'll be snowing in the summer. But something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I think you covered all the bases there, buddy.
Yeah. That was poetic. It's no wonder I wrote a book.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Yes, because I mean, I have said before, I mean, all joking aside, you know, when I was mentioning to Clint during the movie segment last week that the reason you watched The Hunger Games is because you thought it was a documentary about competitive eating.
Yeah, thought there was going to be sausages in it.
You'd, because I think you'd be quite good at that. You'd be very good at competitive eating.
It turns out that, you know, maybe I am competitively eating because I am full of male toxic ego and I hang around mostly with women. Why, beg you to ask the question? Well, here you are. New research shows that men apparently eat more food in the presence of women than they do in the presence of men. And they didn't really understand why. So the research went a little further. It seems it's some sort of like ancient inner monkey we have that thinks we're showing off.
Did it say ancient inner monkey? Or are you just setting that up so that I'm about to get a kicking here?
I say it's our ancient inner monkey and Jim's king of the jungle, inner orangutan.
Right.
Who's able to do this. Yeah. Okay. So,
you're saying that, that eating excessively is a way of impressing women in men's minds.
In men's minds, subconsciously, that we sit down you go for a date, right? So it's a man and a woman go for a date, right?
Yeah.
The man ends up eating more than he would if he was having food with a friend or whatever. You know, just
I would have assumed
with a male
opposite.
Friend, yeah, because he's like doing the whole look how much I can fit in. It's like, yeah, as in our monkey's going, ooh, wouldn't you love to be able to get that much cake into you, wouldn't you?
That's an extraordinary thing. The idea that on some subconscious level a woman would be impressed by you stuffing your face Yeah. So, because the natural extension is that at the end of it, you open your belt and everything.
Yeah.
It's just like, sitting your there, stomach with hanging out,
with
going,
your cacks open in the restaurant.
I'd say you can't wait to get your hands on me.
She's going, do you want to go back to your place? Yeah, eventually. But first, another plate of sausage rolls.
Bring me the cheese board.
Yes, bring down the cheese. Yeah, crackers too. Let's go for the game.
That is so weird.
A pint of wine, please. You know, yeah. That's what, yeah.
I have to say now, I don't think I've ever heard any woman say, do you know what I love now? Do you know what really does it for me?
Yeah.
Is to see a man just eating and eating and eating till he can't stop.
I know, yeah.
Until it makes him nearly ill.
I've met your missus a few times. I love Yvonne. She's brilliant. But I just can't imagine her ever turning around and saying, oh my God, I came home the other night. Sexiest thing I ever saw. Jim was lying there with his trousers open and he fell asleep with a pizza on his chest. And he had two of them missing.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. I found him asleep once in a bowl of lasagna.
It was amazing. It was all over.
I could barely contain
myself. It was all down his legs and everything where he fell asleep and it just tipped over. I was like, I've never seen it. One sock on and all he had. It was gorgeous. Can't keep my hands off.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
We were just talking there earlier on about Sam, the delight that allegedly women take in watching men eat. Apparently, it's quite the turn on.
That's what they say. Well, it's actually the other way around. Yeah. It doesn't say.
It's all in men's heads.
It says in men's heads that's a reality. Though.
Yeah, so this survey said that men eat more in front of women
than they do in front of their male counterparts because they feel that it's on our subconscious
some
now.
Sort of
it's not
alpha male behaviour.
Yeah, that we sort of ooh, when she see me eat.
Yeah. Now I will just say
Mars bars, she'll know I'm the one for her. You know.
I will just say that Nat was on to say I totally believe that. I'm always impressed when I see a man eating a whole packet of biscuits when they're hungry. Yeah, mate, that may be a tongue in cheek remark there from Nat.
Just say, by the way,
100%.
You're supposed to eat a whole packet of biscuits.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry, but who... I have no time for someone who can have one biscuit.
I think you will find that on the packet does say, you know, one serving equals one biscuit.
Oh, what a load of absolute nonsense that is. That's like when you get a lasagna and it says serves four.
Yeah.
And like, you eat the whole thing and you still need a tub of ice cream to fill yourself up.
Do you?
The average man.
Anyway, listen. The thing about it is, right, on the subject of love and all that sort of stuff and the food, there is the flip side to that argument that's been put out there today, okay? Which is that, so that if you're not going to impress a lady through the benefits of, you know, gorging yourself.
Yes.
That maybe you can impress her or rekindle that spark with a bit of exercise. Not that specific exercise.
No. This is
other outdoors.
And it says anything will do. So are you in a relationship where, you know, maybe the spark of the old, maybe the old bedroom's gone a little bit dead, it's gone a little bit flat. It's basically all you're doing there is have an ill sleep and a tumble. And not a romantic tumble, you know.
No.
Because
like fall over your own slippers.
Fall over your own slippers and just go to bed. Because if you are, you're not alone. In fact, most people go through a glut like this, you know, in their relationships and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're saying, well, do you know what it is? They're saying, it's a lack of exercise. It's a lack of getting outdoors again. And that doesn't mean go running. It doesn't mean go to the gym. It means walk in a park together. You know, go.
Oh, you have to do the exercise together.
Not on your own.
So it's not like you go out exercising.
That just means you come back and be romantic on your own. You have to go out together. And you have
to
reinvigorate. It changes the environment of the relationship so that when you come back to a familiar environment, there's a new energy behind it.
Right.
That you'll then be encouraged to go, do you know what? I remember the last time I saw you in the nip was 1996 and I think we should try that again.
Because I thought you meant that, you know, encouraging whoever it is within the relationship to go out and do their own exercising.
No.
And then they come back and it's like, well, yeah, my endorphins are certainly flowing.
Ah, yeah, but what about the other person? The other person still in the head hasn't done anything different. So they're
right.
Not going to be up for it. You
so
have to do it
joint
together.
Joint exercise.
Yes.
Is the key to reigniting the spark.
Yeah, that's the thing. So when you say, so she might say to you, are you angling for a little bit of a... And you go, no, but I think we should both go angling.
Ooh.
We should both go and catch fish together and then maybe when we come back, we'll have a fish supper and a... Mm.
Plus it does give you the opportunity to use plenty of innuendos like, I'm thinking of taking my rod out.
And Debbie going, oh, I was thinking more a worm. But whatever it takes, maybe yes. Even a maggot.
You said, yes, too fancy acting the maggot by a riverside.
With that thing you keep in the lunchbox. Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's what they're saying. Yeah.
It's just, again, look.
Do it together.
No, I'm just saying, again, going back to the idea of, you know, men believing that them eating is impressive to a woman. I get the idea of some sort of muscle-bound, rippling Adonis.
Yeah, yeah, right? Some Van Damme.
I'm sorry, like, I mean, if somebody was standing in their waders wearing their flat cap.
No, yeah.
For hours on end.
And that's the thing.
Does that set the pulses racing?
And that's the thing as well. Effort is a big thing. You know, especially when you're tired and everything. You'd be sitting there, you'd make plans. This is what I'd be doing. You'd make plans and I'd be like, right, we're going to get this together, right? We're bringing the spark back into our relationship. We're going to get, there's going to be trousers all over the place, right? And then you go, right, what are we going to do? We're going to go hill walking and then we're going to go, alpaca trekking. And then we're going to come home and we're going to be so invigorated. We won't be able to keep our hands off each other. And then it would get to the day and you go, do you want to just get a Chinese? Yeah, yeah. It's easier.
Yeah.
And to be honest,
do you want to walk down and collect it? No, get it delivered.
Yeah, and honestly, you'll prefer Chinese than the other thing anyway. Glory
Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
On that story of exercise apparently being very good for the love life.
For reinvigorating your relationship in the physical sense, yeah.
There's two things. First of all, I'm assuming that, is it just exercise? Because you, you know, exercise as in, do you have to kind of do an exercise that breaks a sweat? Because the other way we were talking
Not
about
really.
The fishing.
Yeah, 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 the fish.
For example, that's quite that can be quite sedentary at times, depending on the type of fishing you do.
It's more about changing your environment and doing something a little different than it is about the actual exercise, you know.
So you're saying pastimes. I'm just thinking, if you turn around and you say to somebody about, do you want to come and play darts down the pub with me? Does that qualify as exercise?
I don't know. I mean, is there many romances that have been blossomed over a game of arrows down the pub? I don't know if it, I do know what you're saying.
I'd hit your bullseye. Yeah.
I'll tell you something, you get a bullseye and I get you a pack of smoke, you bacon. Oh.
You never know. At least with those slightly more sedate exercises, you don't end up with that exercise head. Now, some people can carry it off. Some people can do a seriously big workout or whatever, run or whatever. All they do is they look a little, as like they've perspired a little bit. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And they have a sort of it's like it just makes their muscles ripple or glow or something. Whereas the rest of us, you end up with exercise head.
See, that's the thing.
Which is, it's larger, redder.
I know exactly what you're saying. I agree with you completely.
Veins are popping out.
The people who come up with these studies and stuff when they do them, they say, go jogging together. And what they imagine is two people bounding around the park and then going home and having a shower and whipping the lycra all over the place. And what they don't see is, it's you and me wearing t-shirts that look like dresses.
Yeah, so with underbelly.
And shuffling. And then your face is red and the sweat is making you can't see out your eyes anymore. And you're, and then you get to, when you finally get home,
and your nose keeps running for some reason.
Your nose is running, and then you say, you get to a point, and you have to pretend that you weren't. Yeah. You'd run already what you were supposed to run, and then you start coughing.
That's what I'm saying. Again, very hard to picture that image being the thing that sparks somebody's desire for you.
Yeah, you go home, you put you have the shower on, your hands are against the tiles, and you're just there with your wobbly legs. Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I really feel like getting into a romantic situation now. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have a big night. You know?
I don't know if this is completely a one-size-fits-all remedy. That's all I'm saying.
I end up crying into a Jaffa Cake donut when I start doing these things. That's the last thing I want, is to get all amoratic.
Yeah, you're right. Just go and do a bit of, I don't know, plane watching or something.
You've outgrown it.
Let it go.
Enjoy the donut.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Just accept your best days are behind.
They're gone. You only had three positions. And they probably weren't that good. They probably weren't.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Of course, something that, to be fair, we all know and have known for a very long time is that as a little nation, we do tend regularly enough to punch way above our weight. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, yeah.
We end up with world stars and all sorts of things. We've got world-class actors. We've got world-class sports people. You know, we're often top of the tree.
And when it comes to loads of things.
Loads of things, even though we are quite a small nation. And we've done it again.
We've done it again. Yes, don't worry, it's not football. But what we have done it with is funerals. Irish funerals are shown to be probably the world's best when it comes to helping people through their grief. So prolonged grief disorder, which they describe as sort of, you know, still feeling grief more than 6 months after someone dies. Very normal for all of us, nearly, I would say. And they reckon that as a ritual, Irish funerals where, you know, you have to wake or the funeral home where everyone's what sort of welcome.
Yeah.
You come and you view the body and it's open casket and everybody sort of hangs around and they meet each other and you start telling stories and you eat a few sandwiches, have a bit of tea, whatever it is, you know.
Funeral soup.
Funeral soup, and then of course
arguably the greatest soup in the history of the world.
Soup. All these things. Now they're saying that it's actually really progressive, you know, as far as dealing with loss of loved ones. Irish funerals and the Irish ritual seems to be the greatest one in the world.
So we're the best at funerals.
We're the best at funerals.
Oh, once again.
Tell us what we already knew.
Ireland takes the title.
You know, I think it's... And we all know, in fairness, I say it all the time, an Irish funeral's much better. Much better leagues ahead than an Irish wedding. Irish weddings are such a penance by comparison.
You know, providing you're not the person who's, you know, lost somebody very close. If you're on the periphery of a funeral...
Without getting too controversial, I will say that even when I lost my poor mother last year, it was horrendous, you know, and everything. But
it was still better than some of the weddings you'd been at.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say you nailed it. But,
right,
you know.
I see where you're
And it was great to see people and feel so supported and
When
they go to a
and
wedding.
And not have to buy a present.
I guess
a new suit or anything.
I feel like I'm at gunpoint at a wedding, you know. Did you get the present? What did you get? Look at you. You didn't wear the right clothes. You're sitting at the right. You have to sit with that person. You're not out sitting over there. You have to do this. Oh, that band.
I know what you're saying. There's less rules, isn't there, with a funeral?
Yeah, that's why we're always saying...
It's a bit more casual, a bit more... It's a bit more Irish.
Yeah, and that's why we're always saying, and God, please let it not be soon, but we can't wait for Jim's funeral. It's going to be such a day. We've the venue picked, you know.
Venue pick.
I do, yeah.
Great, excellent.
Surprise. Well, actually, I'll tell you.
It certainly will be a surprise to me.
You can't tell anyone, though. Don't.
All right, yeah. Yeah. You don't want to spoil the fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know.
You don't want to spoil the fun of my funeral.
I've the speech written. I have it all. It's going to be, you know, it's all, you know, can't wait.
You're going the extra mile.
Even have the press release done. PJ Gallagher absolutely devastated on loss of his pal.
Yeah. As we've said many times, I won't even get a mention.
Pal. Yeah. His pal, it says.
Nobody will know my name. It's just, some friend of PJ Gallagher died there. That's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, he's
poor
devastated.
Poor PJ.
He's writing a book about it.
Yeah. Will I even get a name on my gravestone?
You
or will it be
yeah.
just, here lies good friend of PJ Gallagher?
Did you hear his speech?
In fact,
jeez,
it'll
the
be
mocking
just,
is catching. I better be very careful.
PJ Gallagher's friend, 1968
to whenever it was. Great day out.
Brilliant. Well, I'm glad you're looking forward to it.
Great day out. Yeah. I'll tell you, but
it better
you know,
be world class.
It will be. Oh, I'm gonna get sandwiches from the gourmet.
Because the thing about it is, right? All joking aside, with the kind of looking forward to it, I'm telling you, as I say, providing you're not part of an immediate, you know, close relative.
If you're not in
you're not the one grieving, you know, as a close friend or a close member of the family or whatever.
Yeah.
The amount of people who do think, like, people take days off work and everything. Now, not from the point of view of, like, I need an hour off to nip to the funeral. They actually take it because there'll be some session after that.
Some session after that.
Oh, yeah, because they had a big family now.
Oh, yeah.
Or they'll book out. Pubs and GAA clubs get booked out for the day. And like,
you know when people go to funerals and it's like going to see a cover band?
Yeah.
You ever see that? So we have a friend. You know the way some people say, I'm going to go see the Beautiful South, but it's not the Beautiful South. It's like, you know, the guitarist, Eddie Rayner. That's not the real name, but Eddie's playing.
It's the very good looking East.
Yeah, it's the very, so I'm going to go and see them. That's the way funeral, we have a fella like that. He's like that. He goes, oh, I'm going to go to a funeral. Which Howard? No. Well, it's Mary Howard. No, it's Oh, you'd know to see around the place. It used to be a part of the big Howards who lived over the road, but they're all gone now. But the one that was left over was the first cousin who's still there. Anyway, she died. Oh, you wouldn't miss it for the world. Oh, Jesus, it'd be a big session. Jesus, it'd be Christmas and everything. It's like going to a cover band. They're going to see, yeah.
It's like people make plans for it.
It'd be 4 days of that now. It'd be 4 days. Five days, maybe.
Jokes about
if the uncle comes over from America, it'd be 5 days.
It'd be like those jokes about the, they used to say with the GA lads when they travel up, you know, it's like, I got the dinner out of the way early so I could have a good run or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good run, good feed of pints. So just what you would have wanted was me to be jarred for 5 days.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie. The van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
So there you go, folks. Some of the best bits from during the week on the show. So we're going off now to. By the way, where is that bat country? Where's the country where the bat with the enormous langer hangs
out? I didn't even read what country
out?
He's in. I didn't even read the country at all.
Just in case there might be something in the water or something. You know what I mean?
I'd say I wouldn't worry. To be honest, with a flute like that, I doubt he can take off. He's not going to cross the sea, is he?
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Talking about a dead weight, yeah.
And have you, in this week ahead now, you know what I mean? You've only got, well, what's this? You've got
a lot.
You've got a week left before the full jingle jangle madness kicks in.
What do you mean?
If you think it's been bad so far, once December arrives, you're in trouble, buddy.
Buy presents.
You're in trouble.
Oh, jeepers, yeah. I have to buy presents. God forbid my kids wouldn't get Christmas presents, you know? It's not because they know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, because, like, not even a year yet, but hey.
Yeah. Oh, they know exactly. God, yeah. You wouldn't want to let down a month old.
Scooter, is it? Electric scooter.
And then, yeah, electric scooter. Two electric Vespas. Wrap them up. Oh, God.
Oh, right. Come on, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. Have a great week, everybody.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.